Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. The Associated Press came out with a story some years ago about a guy named Daniel Sampson, who robbed the Ontario Bank in Canada. And he used a hand-me-down Colt 45 and robbed the bank for $6,000. Well, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police caught up with him, and they confiscated the money and the gun. And they did something that was routine. They sent the gun to a lab to have it tested. And that's where they figured out that that gun was actually a collector's item. And Danny Sampson didn't have to rob a bank. He had a gun that was worth $100,000. He didn't know it, but God had actually already provided for his needs. It's when he tried to take matters into his own hands that he got himself into trouble. You know, when we think about stealing, we think about robbing banks. I mean, how many Western or outlaw movies are made that revolve around robbing the bank? And the normal mindset when we think of stealing is something big. You know, we don't think of small things. We think of big things. Stealing money or stealing secrets or stealing weapons. In those old Westerns, if you got thrown into jail for robbing the bank, then they tried to steal the keys off of the jailer. Stealing is just a part of countless movies and television shows, and that's because stealing's a really big part of our lives. Now, some of you might bristle at that comment and say, well, I'm not a thief. Well, I understand why you say that, yet sometimes we find that what we think to be true is not maybe always as true as we thought. So we're in our series, Boundaries. Exodus chapter 20 is our text. We're looking at the Ten Commandments, and we've arrived at commandment number 8. We started out by looking at how we relate to God. Those first four commandments talk about our relationship with God. And then the commandments that are 5 through 10 remind us of our relationship with others. We're not to murder, honor your father and mother, don't commit adultery. Well, now we come to the next commandment, and it's Exodus chapter 20. It's a very short verse, verse 15. So take a look at that verse with me. You shall not steal. Pretty succinct. To the point. In fact, in the Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament, it's even more succinct. It says, not steal. That's how succinct it is. So this is another commandment that people look at times and they say, well, hey, I'm off the hook on this one. I'm not a thief. That one doesn't concern me. I'm good on that one. We just have to remember that we've broken every commandment. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, for the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. So we have to remember, we've broken those commandments, and every one of us is guilty, and so we really have to take this verse that we're looking at today, take it to heart. So I want to talk to you about God's word for our lives, and I want us to look here again at this verse. You shall not steal. The clarity and the brevity of those words are powerful. I mean, there's not a lot of theological debate here. It is so clear. God tells us that we're not to steal. In fact, you could dig down deep into what scholars have to say, and you could dig down deep into the original language and the meaning behind the verse, and it all boils down to don't take stuff that doesn't belong to you. That's how profound it is. God is sharing with his people some things that are important to him, and they form the foundation of much of society. And this idea of not stealing is not just foundational in our society today, it's foundational in almost every single society throughout all of human history. And that is because stealing, taking things that don't belong to you, cut at the heart of humanity. But we have to understand, this commandment is not based just on humanity. It's based on the character of God, particularly as being totally honest and trustworthy. Now, when we talk about honest, we think about God being honest. The Bible teaches us all throughout Scripture. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 19. I, the Lord, speak truth. I declare what is right. John chapter 3, verse 33. God is truthful. God is truthful. So we know that God is honest, and not only is God honest, he's also trustworthy. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28. O sovereign Lord, you are a God. Your words are trustworthy. Psalm 19:7. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. God's character is that of one of being completely honest and completely trustworthy. And friend, he wants his followers, you and me, he wants us to bear those same marks in our lives as well. And of all the people on this planet, Christians ought to be the most honest, ought to be the most trustworthy, just like their father. So years ago when the riots were happening in Los Angeles, Steve Futterman, who was a news correspondent, he was out doing his job, doing reporting, and he stopped a guy who was looting a music store. And he asked the guy, "What are you stealing?" And the guy said, "I'm stealing gospel tapes. I love Jesus." I don't think that's the way it's supposed to work. You know, everybody, including Christians, are not supposed to steal, but especially Christians. And you may not be looting out in the streets, but sometimes in our neighborhood, or maybe in our workplace, even in the church, sometimes we find ourselves breaking this commandment. Ray Pritchard, who's a pastor, talks about four ways that people steal that are not what you normally think of. Let me just share those with you quickly. He says, sometimes we're a time thief. A time thief, and that is someone who steals someone else's time. And he says you do that by showing up late to appointments, or maybe leaving your job early, trying to do less but getting paid more. He said those are time thieves. He also said there are gossiping thieves, and those are people that try to steal someone's good name. They badmouth a person trying to steal the good name of that person. It makes me think of what Shakespeare said in Othello. "He that filches from me my good name robs me of that which enriches him and makes me poor indeed." There's also the defrauding thief. And the defrauding thief is terrible. That's somebody who steals the purity of another person, leads them into immorality, into stealing innocence. And then he says there is the careless thief. The careless thief. And this is the person who borrows something and never returns it. Or the person who promises to pay someone back, but they don't do so, and they don't really care. So I think you can see just from those four that I listed quickly that this commandment may be broader than people initially realize. As I said, all of us have broken the Ten Commandments. So how does this passage apply to us? All right, so let me ask you a question. Have you ever stolen anything? Aren't you glad we're online right now when I ask a question like that? That way nobody has to raise their hands. I mean, the fact is, all of us, if I asked a question, if we were in a room together and I said, "Hey, how many of you have stolen something?" we would all have to raise our hands. And that's because we know the truth of this commandment. All of us have stolen. So who have we stolen from? Well, one, we've stolen from others. I think we know that. This is the most common way that you think of when you think of stealing. Now, there are different ways that we steal from other people. There's the traditional idea of stealing from people, and that's where we go and we take something from them that does not belong to them, or does not belong to us. We take it from them. And that kind of stealing typically is where a possession is taken. That's typically what we think of when we think of this commandment. But, you know, there are also more subtle forms of theft where you can steal from a person and you don't really think of it as stealing. For example, the repair person who says that there's a problem that's not really there. Or false advertising about a company's product. That is a form of stealing. Or the cashier who consistently and intentionally gives the wrong change back to people and pockets the rest. The person who borrows something, as we said, and never returns it, that is stealing. Many students today have made a game out of shoplifting. Shoplifting is something we know is a crime, and yet a lot of teenagers today have made it like it's a competition, a challenge that they want to try. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 23 tells us, "The Lord despises double standards. He's not pleased with dishonest scales." Dishonest scales has to do with the idea of not being fair. An employer who withholds money that is rightfully due their employee, that's a form of stealing. We don't think of it that way. Or paying someone less simply because their employee is a female, that's a form of stealing. Now, we see behavior like that in the news. We see it, it makes news a lot. But we also know that there's another side to that story, not just the employer side, but there's also the employee side. The employee that does not give 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay. The employee that is being paid to do work, but is actually just goofing off on the internet. The employee that arrives late, leaves early, takes an extra long lunch break, and then just kind of walks around the office and tries to engage people in conversations. That's actually a form of stealing. We don't think of it that way, but it's stealing from our employer. When you cheat on your taxes or your expense account, or you pretend to be more hurt than you really are after you get into a car accident, that's stealing. There are many, many ways that we can defraud other people or organizations. And the Bible tells us that's just not the way that we're to live our lives. So we steal from others. But we also steal from ourselves. Just like we steal from other people, we can steal from ourselves. And we don't typically ever really think about stealing from ourselves, but when you waste the time and talents that God has given you, you're actually stealing from yourself. So many of you have great things to offer people, and maybe it's from your background or your experience. You have great opportunities for service that you could be a part of, but we just find ourselves where we're just too busy to use our God-given talents, or we've decided that, well, it's not really for me to do anymore. You know, I've kind of retired from all of that. You're actually stealing from yourself and stealing from that opportunity you have. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because you know the days are evil." Paul's telling us, hey, make the most of every day of your life. When we fail to make the most of every day of our life and we fail to use the gifts and talents that God has given us, we're ending up stealing from ourselves, taking away opportunities that God has given us, maybe even blessings that we're missing out on that God has for us. Now, here's something else. We also steal from ourselves when we build our lives on things that will not last. When you build all of your life on things that will not last, you are actually stealing from yourself. You say, well, how is that stealing from myself? Jesus calls us to do something, and we're going to see this in the weeks coming up, but Jesus calls us to lay up treasures in heaven. In other words, to do things here on this earth that endure unto eternal life, that lasts for eternity. And when we spend all of our life focused on things that are going to pass away when we pass away, instead of laying up treasures in heaven as the Bible teaches us to do, we're actually stealing from ourselves, not just today, but also in the future. Isn't it amazing how a simple commandment like do not steal goes deeper than we actually realize? So we're not to steal from others, and we're not to steal from ourselves, but the Bible tells us also that we steal from God. Many people do not realize that when they're not faithful in their finances, then they're giving to God, to his work, to his kingdom, that they're stealing from God. Now, they don't think of it that way, because when the offering plate is passed, back when we used to do that, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, give a, you know, kind of give something maybe this week, maybe not. They don't really think of it as stealing. And the idea of tithing for many people is kind of a foreign concept to them. But in the Bible is very clear that giving sacrificially and giving a tithe is something that God calls us to do. In fact, he tells us that when we don't do that, we're actually stealing from him. Listen to what God says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Okay, so I believe, and our church teaches, the scriptural principle of what is called the tithe. That is, setting aside 10% of your gross income, not your net income, but 10% of your gross income to give to the Lord and to his work. Now, I know for some of you, that may be a totally new concept. That may be something you've never even thought about doing or trying to figure out how to do that. What do you mean? What are you talking about? In Scripture, God tells us, he teaches us through his word, that everything that we have, 100% of all that we have, belongs to God. And as a reminder, not to God, but to us, we are to set aside the first 10% of our gross income and give it to the Lord and to his work. We receive an offering here in our church. And what we talk about is giving tithes and offerings. Those tithes are that first 10%. The offerings are things that we give above and beyond the tithe. The tithe is kind of the ground floor. It's where it all begins. Now, here's what a lot of people say. They say, hey, you know, that's a neat idea. I'm really happy for you guys, but I can't do that. You don't know my budget, you don't know my money, you don't know what I've got going on, I can't afford it. I can't afford to do that. But when we look at Scripture, what we see is that God tells us, hey, you can't afford not to do it. And the Bible teaches us that God knows what we need and that he will meet your need. That verse in Malachi, God says, hey, put me to the test and see if I'm not going to provide for you, if I'm not going to meet that need for you. That's where faith comes in. But we look at it and we think, robbing God, stealing from God? I don't know about that. Yet God says he's going to meet our need. Okay, so if you're in that situation where you say, you know, I can't afford to do that. Let's just imagine something for a second, okay? Just you and me for just a moment. What if I said to you, I said, hey, if you will promise, if you'll make a commitment to say, I'm gonna tithe 10% of my gross income. I'm gonna be faithful and I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna be responsible in how I spend my money, and I am going to tithe 10% of my gross income. And in return, I promise that I will make up the difference in your bills if you fall short. So you're going to give that first 10% to God, to his work, to his kingdom, and you're going to be responsible in how you spend your money. But if you fail to be able to pay your bills, then I'm going to show up. I'm going to make up the difference for you. Let me ask you a question. Just be honest. Would you accept that offer? Would you take that offer? If I said, I'll make up the difference if you promise to tithe and to be responsible, would you accept that offer? So obviously, I can't hear you and what you just answered because we're on video right now, but I would venture to say that probably many of you watching the service right now, whether you said it out loud or you said it in your heart, you said yes. In fact, maybe even most of you who are not tithing right now, maybe even most of you would say yes to that. So let's just stop for a moment and say this. If you agreed to what I said, let's just stop and think about what you agreed to. Because what you agreed to is that you would be willing to put your trust in me to make up the difference there. Me, who is someone just like yourself, who doesn't really possess all that much in this world, you would put your trust in me, but in reality, you don't feel like you can really put your trust in God, who owns the entire universe and can do whatever he chooses to do. And yet, you don't have my word, I would do it, but God gives his word in Malachi. He says, hey, put me to the test and see if I will not open the floodgates. This is not about being some kind of like TV preacher, even though you're watching me on your TV right now. It's not about that. This is not about a prosperity gospel. I resent the prosperity gospel that's being preached. This is about faithfulness, biblical faithfulness. And friend, God doesn't need our money. He wants us to trust in him. And people are always trying to cut corners. I've heard people say, well, you know, it's not the gross, it's the net. You don't really have to do that. We try to cut corners everywhere we can. And yet the Bible calls us to faith, a faith that doesn't cut corners. And it just so happens that we talk about putting your money where your mouth is. Tithing just happens to be one way, and I would say one of the clearest ways, that we express our trust in him. And scripture teaches that when we're not faithful in this area, we're actually stealing from God. And so we're being called to accept a challenge of obedience. And I want to call you. And especially if you took the challenge from me and said, yes, I'd be willing to do that if you promised to make up my bills. I want to challenge you to begin tithing, not next Sunday, but today. Because friend, I want you to know that God's going to be faithful. God's going to provide. He says, put me to the test, so why don't you do it? And trust in the Lord. So you see, this commandment about not stealing, man, it just seems to run broader and deeper than you might think when you first read it. All right, so how do we live? How should we live our lives in light of this commandment and all that we've heard about stealing from others and stealing from ourselves and stealing from God? How should we as believers live our lives? Well, first of all, we should live our lives with integrity. I love saying this. God makes things with integrity. That's why when you open a banana, you peel a banana, you find a banana inside. There is not an orange inside. And that is because God makes things with integrity. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to live your life with integrity to be an upstanding citizen, an upstanding employee, an upstanding follower of Jesus Christ. There should be no question about your work ethic, about your money, or about your word. And so for some of you, you may look at that and you say, that makes me struggle a bit. And you may actually need to make restitution in your life. Do you remember the story in the Bible of Zacchaeus? Most people think of Zacchaeus because he was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And we talk about him climbing up in a tree so that he could see Jesus. All right? That's what we think of when we think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was not just a wee little man. Zacchaeus, we find out, was a man of integrity. And it's because Zacchaeus gave evidence of his newfound faith in Jesus Christ, not just by what he said, but also what he did. You see, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he had been cheating people. So the Bible tells us that when he has this encounter with Jesus Christ, his life has been transformed, and he pays people that he has cheated. He pays them back four times over. He pays them back. And there may be some of you today that are watching the service right now, and maybe you owe somebody money. Somebody has loaned you money, you owe somebody money, and you haven't been paying them back. And maybe God is speaking to you about paying them back. You may not be able to do what Zacchaeus did and pay him four times over, but you may just need to take a step Maybe you haven't paid them back at all, and you just need to take a step. Say, hey, I can't pay you back everything, but I can pay you back something. And so I'm just giving you this bit. And I'm committing to begin a process of paying you back. You know what happens when you do that? You begin walking in integrity. As you're taking even a small step. Here's a second word. And that word is industry. Industry. You see, God wants you to work. Work is not a curse. A lot of people think that it is. Work is not a curse. God created work. He has given us work. We are to do it. We'll work in heaven as well. We're to be people of industry. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. We hear that some of you are idle. They're not busy. They're busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. So if you are employed, if you have a job, you should work hard. And you should be the best employee at your job. You should be the one that is faithful, who works hard, who does what they're supposed to do. Now, I recognize that there are some of you right now that are watching the service, and this number seems to be growing in our own community, but there are some of you that are without a job right now, and you're looking for a job. Don't view this verse as beating you over the head. If you are unemployed, or maybe you cannot work right now because of health reasons, or maybe you're retired, that verse like that is not designed to beat you over the head. The truth of it is the same whether you have a job or you don't have a job, whether you're able to work or not able to work, whether you're retired or you're employed. The point of it is the same. The point of that verse is we should be people who are hard workers, who are not lazy. We should be industrious. What does that verse say there? It tells us that we're not to be idle. That's the idea that even if you're retired, you're not just supposed to be sitting around on your hands. There are ways that you can serve people, ways that you can be involved, things that you can do even from your home to be busy and not be a busybody. I'm more and more convinced that social media was designed for busybodies to have something to do. You know, we are not to be busybodies. We're not to be idle, but we are to be active. Because what happens is we can easily become lazy, and the Bible condemns laziness. So if you're in it, if you have a job, work hard. If you're looking for a job, keep it up. Keep looking for a job, and know that we as a staff are praying for you in that process. But let the verse like that just kind of renew your spirit today to say, hey, I'm gonna get after it. I'm gonna work even harder. And if you're retired or maybe you're not able to work because of health reasons, find things to do that are productive. Find ways to encourage people. Find ways to help people. But use your time wisely. That's the idea of being industrious and not being lazy. Here's the third word. And that is generosity. Integrity, industry, and generosity. God loves generous people. Not people, we're not called to steal, to be people who steal, but we're to be generous people. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. God loves people who are generous. Not because he needs the money, but it's because it reflects his heart. What is the devil trying to do? The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil is always trying to take. He's always trying to take from you and from your life and to destroy all things that are good in your life. He wants total destruction in your life. The devil's MO is all about stealing. It's all about taking away. It's all about hurting people and hurting others. The heart of God is a God of generosity. It's not one of stealing. It's not one of taking away. God's heart is one of generosity, one of giving. And so when you are generous, you are reflecting the heart of God. I love what John Davis says. He says, you've heard kids say, now listen, I want y'all to listen closely on this. You've heard kids say, finders keepers, losers weepers. But Jesus teaches us keepers, weepers, losers, finders. Keepers, weepers, losers, finders. You have to think about that a little bit. God wants you to be one that is letting loose of things. He wants you to be generous, to have a generous heart, and to be willing to share, to give to others, especially to those who are in need, as you are able to do so. Proverbs 19:17 says this, listen, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Friend, God wants you not to be one who steals, but he wants you to be a blessing to other people as God blesses you, to live a life of integrity, a life of industry, a life of generosity. Not just to say, well, I'm going to do this to avoid breaking this commandment. We're not walking around doing these things in order that we might avoid breaking the eighth commandment. But we live a life of integrity and industry and generosity. We live a life that doesn't steal from people, but instead a life that is sacrificial and giving. That we as believers, as followers of Christ, might be an example to others, might be able to help others, and that we might be a blessing to the heart of God. Now, friend, what I want you to do is I want to ask you there in your home to bow your head. Not to turn off the video yet, but just to bow your head for just a moment. And I want to ask you just to look into your heart, just to reflect for a moment. You know, there are some of you who have been watching this service today, and maybe you didn't think stealing was what you thought it was. Maybe it's gone deeper than you thought. And maybe you realize that you have not been doing what you should. Maybe you have been taking from others. Maybe you're not living a life of crime necessarily. But maybe there's that person out there that you owe money to that you haven't been paying on. And maybe today you need to make a commitment to say, hey, I'm going to start paying that person back. I'm not going to live a life that is taking, but I'm going to do what is right, like Zacchaeus. You know, there may be some of you today that you realize as you look in your life that you've been stealing from yourself. You've not been laying up treasures in heaven. You've not been serving the Lord the way that you need to serve the Lord. Maybe you have not been using the gifts and talents, the experience that God has given you, and maybe God is wanting you to be a blessing to someone else by not holding on to things, but instead giving away, giving some of your time, not stealing from yourself and the blessing that could be yours. There are probably some of you today, though, that are watching that maybe God has spoken to you about being faithful in this area of tithing, not stealing from God, not taking from Him. And maybe you took that challenge and you said, yes, if you'd cover my bills, I'd do it. And you realize, hey, God's promised He's going to provide. He's going to take care of His children. And if you're watching the service right now, maybe you feel this call, this commitment in your life that you need to give. And friend, I just encourage you, if that's you, don't say, I'm going to wait till next week. Take a step today. Go online and give today. Send in a check to the ministry of this church, the work of this church today. Again, I'm not saying this is some prosperity preacher gospel. I'm not in favor of that. I'm just calling people to faithfulness. And faithfulness is not about tomorrow. It's about today. And I want to invite you to take a step today. The greatest act of generosity we have ever seen is when God sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for you and me. We're going to celebrate that tonight. We're going to remember that tonight. We're going to talk about that in our service at 5 o'clock, our Lord's Supper service. But you know, there may be some who are watching this service right now and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And maybe God has spoken to you today about trusting in Him as Lord and Savior. Friend, today I want to invite you to make that decision, to turn from sin and self and just say, Jesus, I know You died on the cross for me. I believe in You, and I want to receive You as my Savior and Lord. Some of you watching the service need to join our church. Some of you have a prayer need in your life. Whatever decision you have, I want to invite you to make that decision today, not to put it off for tomorrow, but today. And I want to invite you, if you have a decision to make, to trust Christ as Savior, to join our church, to recommit your life to the Lord, to decide, maybe you're going to decide to be faithful in this area of giving in your life. Maybe you've got a prayer request, a prayer need in your life. Then I want to invite you just to text the name Jesus to 469-505-2225. You'll immediately receive back a little form that will allow you to share with us about that decision, that you want to join our church, that you want to know Jesus as Savior, that you want us to pray for a need in your life. Friend, it's very easy to become complacent during this time of COVID-19, but I want to invite you to make a deeper commitment today to the Lord and to His work. Our world today doesn't need less committed Christians. It needs more Christians committed to the call God has placed upon our lives. So I want to invite you today, if you have trusted Christ as Savior, or you want to, if you need to join our church, if you need to be faithful in some area, you need us to pray about something, let us know. Let us know of that decision. And I want to invite you to come by today from 12 to 1 to pick up those elements and be part of that service tonight at 5 o'clock as we remember the body and the blood of our Savior who gave us all. I want to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing our closing song. Would you pray with me today? Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word and for the depth of it, how it goes so much deeper than what we often realize. I thank you, God, for this call to faithfulness that we have received from your word. Let us not be people who rob from you, but let us be people of faith and commitment, be people of integrity and industry and generosity as we serve you. And God, we see that in our Savior who died on the cross for us. May we live our lives in such a way that reflect the beauty and the glory of the sacrifice that our generous God has made on our behalf. May we not look at a verse that says, do not steal, and just think it means committing a crime. Help us to see, God, the faithfulness that you, our Father, call us to in all areas of our life and faith. So give people direction and courage as they follow you today, as they make commitments to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you sing this song of faith and make the decision that God has placed on your heart.